Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show, first hour, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And guess what? You all are in charge of the show today. What does that mean? That simply means that you give us a call here at WCBM 680. That's 1-800-WCBM-680 or 410-WCBM-680. Numerically, that's 410-922-6680. 922-6680. And ask a question, make a comment, and we'll do our best to have a conversation about that. So, I know my week was interesting, exhausting, but interesting. Got two folks that are near and dear to me in the hospital this week. One with some surgery, one still in. And it's very stressful, but working our way through that. And we also have the General Assembly going on, and we had a Wildlife Advisory Commission meeting this week. When the once the public comment period on the regulations proposals was finished, and so it's. It's been interesting. Been an interesting week. I did have a chance to go fishing this week once with biologist John Mulliken, who's been a biologist on the who's been a guest on the Outdoorsman Radio Show here in the past, talking about the upper Potomac walleye fishery and muskie fishery. And we were out Thursday. Extremely windy day. Should have been good. We each caught one walleye. However, we had a great time. Yesterday, they fished again and caught 26 walleyes, which is how it goes for me. You know, I'm either a day late or a day short, one of the two, day late or a day early. And but I will say this, the water was beautiful. The fish apparently cooperated yesterday like they should. And it is just a lot of fun. I had to remember, you know, down and across, down and across, down and across. It was a, you know, when you fish in a river with certain types of bait, you know, you want to throw upstream and let it go downstream and then work it back to the boat. No, not with walleye. They have a little different presentation that they need. And we were working edges of the current, and there's currents and there's subcurrents and there's cross currents and there's currents coming together in certain places. And with 20 some years on the river, John knows all these places and he knows where the walleyes hang out. River's absolutely loaded with fish. They did some electroshocking in the last 2 weeks. And he said there's just numbers of fish are unbelievable. Now, we are on a slot limit during the spawning season, which means any time you catch a walleye in Maryland, it's got to be 15 inches. But we're only allowed to keep them between 15 and 20. Now, I love to eat walleye, so I was hoping that our fish would hit that slot. Both of them did, as a matter of fact, right in the middle of that slot. So we or upper end. So we kept the two fish, and they're filleted in my refrigerator right now. But I also, one of the fish was a female with eggs, roe sac, so to speak, and I also wondered if walleye roe was edible. So I did a little website search and found out that people eat walleye roe, and they make it in all kinds of different, you know, appetizers and things like that. I just decided to fry it. So I did a little Cajun seasoning and a little rice flour in the bag and dusted it with some rice flour. I guess if I'd have wanted a little thicker batter, I could have done an egg wash. Might do that with the other one. Fried that thing up in olive oil and lemon, a little salt and pepper, and I was surprised. The flavor is very mild, not tremendously fishy. I mean, you can tell it's fish. The texture's interesting, but I enjoyed it tremendously, and so, you know, I will. If that ever happens again, I will continue to make that a delicacy. You know, this time of year you can buy shad roe. You know, that's, what, $12, $15 a pound, something like that. And my lady friend Donna, she particularly likes shad roe. Others like, you know, shad fillets or bone shad, so to speak. And I've never eaten shad, to be honest with you. I've never eaten shad roe. I've never eaten the fillet. So I'll have to try that sometime. But that being said, with all the other drama and suspense and tension this week, I was able to get out for a day and enjoy my day on the water. And like I said, it is a tremendous fishery up there on the Potomac. Had a great time with John, and many thanks to him. He has a boat that's unbelievable, built in Missouri. All metal boat, jet drive, 200 horsepower Merc Cruiser, inboard with a jet motor. He can run it in 3 inches of water. Very maneuverable, very powerful, got you where you wanted to go. Very comfortable boat. So, thank you, John. Appreciate that. So, one of the things that grew out of the Wildlife Advisory Commission meeting this week do you like Sunday hunting? Do you like to hunt on Sunday? I mean, it's a great opportunity for the family. It's a great opportunity for the kids. We do harvest quite a few deer on Sundays to add to the bag. It's a great management tool. Some counties do not have it. Some do. Originally, Sunday hunting was an extremely hard-fought battle. One of the major people against Sunday hunting, one of the major groups against Sunday hunting, was that 2003, 2005, what was the organized horse community? The organized horse community. I'd just like to read this to you. The Sunday hunting repeal is real. And if your delegate does not hear from you, then there is a very real possibility we lose a hard-fought gain for the hunting community. This was written by a Wildlife Advisory Commissioner on a public website forum, the Refuge Forum. I just got back from my Wildlife Advisory Committee meeting in Annapolis, commission meeting in Annapolis, and from the lips of DNR, the horse people are in full attack mode. The high-powered lobby efforts are connected with some of the legislatures. I think it's legislators. That does not mean they win. Your elected officials need to hear from you. If you cannot take a day off from work, then send an email. It is better than doing nothing at all. Here's a link to the Environmental Matters Committee, and I'll give that link to you. I'll also supply this link to this Refuge Forum post if you prefer. Just send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I'll take care of that after the show. Include a brief statement about your concern. Include your name, address, and contact information. And then here's the letter that was written. Dear Delegate, I'm aware that the equestrian community has mounted an attack on the Sunday hunting opportunities that are currently permitted here in Maryland. As a longtime hunter and chairman of the Wildlife Advisory Committee under Governor O'Malley's administration, I am confounded as to how one group can be so forward as to think their sport should take precedent over another. Currently, horse riding is a year-round event. Hunting is limited to different species from September till mid-February timeframe. The Sunday hunting that is currently permitted is limited to private lands. As a legislature, are we now going to tell law-abiding citizens what recreational activities they can and cannot do on their own land? Yet other groups may in fact participate in their recreation 7 days a week. Hunting has been painted as a dangerous sport to the public at large. Nothing can be further from the truth. If that were true, why would we allow it Monday through Saturday? I would venture to say that there are more injuries derived from horseback riding than hunting incidents. Hunters must purchase a license, take a safety course, and purchase additional permits for different species. Do horse folks need a license? Do they take a safety course for riding? So, why must one recreational group be treated so different than another? I trust that you will treat Maryland recreational users with the same respect and allow hunting its few months of opportunity and the horse people their year-round opportunity. Please do not mandate to the tens of thousands of hunters around the state that they cannot enjoy their sport on Sunday. Nicely written. Well stated. The horse people have put out a news release in January that they hired a lobbyist, a very powerful lobbyist, a very well-connected lobbyist. The gentleman's name is Frank D. Boston III, and I invite you to Google Frank D. Boston III. He's a lawyer. He's a lobbyist based in Baltimore. He billed $563,700 in 2010, according to the Maryland State Ethics Commission. His father, Frank D. Boston Jr., was a Democrat state delegate from the city of Baltimore and died a couple of years ago. Mr. Boston has worked for and does work for Philip Morris USA, which is a Altria Client Services Incorporated and its affiliates, Philip Morris USA, John Middleton Company and U.S. Smokeless Tobacco Company, Atlantic Wind Connection, Baltimore City Fraternal Order of Police Lodge Number 3, the Baltimore Licensed Beverage Association, the Baltimore Retired Police Benevolent Association, Bridgeport Education, Access to Higher Education, Citizens for Fire Safety, CSX Transportation, Elevator Industry Work Preservation Fund, Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors, Maryland Association for Justice, Maryland Association of Realtors, Maryland Hotel and Lodging Association, Maryland Licensed Firearm Dealers Association, Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police, Maryland Tourism Council, Mid-Atlantic Car Wash Association, Miller Coors LLC Beer, and Paradox Entertainment Company, which is a nightclub in Baltimore. That's who we're up against. We're going to take a couple minutes and take a break, and then we're going to ask you for your comments and your thoughts, and we'd like you to get ready by doing just this. Call 410-922-6680 if you're a hunter and you like to hunt on Sundays or have your kids hunt on Sundays, or if it doubles your hunting time on the weekend and you see it under threat. You see, the ban is what they're going for, a total repeal of all the successes in all the counties that we have gained over the past decade. Yes, all the dates, all the days, no Sunday hunting for anything. That's the goal. Time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. The 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes, like the grand prize boat motor trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's the website for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Oh, I hope so. It's the Splash into Spring event at Talbot Power Sports. That's on Route 50 in Easton, Friday and Saturday, March 28th and 29th. That's coming up. This Friday and Saturday, coming up. The headliners are the Can-Am Spyder, Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft, and Can-Am ATVs with huge savings and the best deals of the season. Now, the Can-Am Spyder, with its Y-frame design and seven automotive technologies, you can count on an exhilarating and confident ride. From sport to touring, there's a Can-Am Spyder for your particular riding style. Now, Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft has over a dozen models to fit your style. The exciting new Spark, that's a model, a Spark. It's playful, it's easy to ride, it's family-friendly, affordable. From beginner to luxury to performance, Sea-Doo has the perfect personal watercraft for your family. And you can go off-road where adventure lives on a Can-Am ATV, whether it's for work or play. Choose the Outlander or the Renegade Sport 4x4. Friday and Saturday, March 28th and 29th, take the family to Talbot Power Sports, 9477 Ocean Gateway. That's Route 50 in Easton for food, door prizes, and fun. It's a Splash into Spring event featured by Can-Am and Sea-Doo. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his bones, the way he makes each living. I'm talking about the man, talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man trout, line of crabs, tonguing oysters, and working the beef. Talking about the man who makes his living on the water every day. I'm talking about the man.
Bird Dog Wheeler and Road Kings, Waterman. Do we get any phone calls on anybody with any interest in Sunday hunting, preserving Sunday hunting, or are they just going to let it go by the boards like they let everything else go by the boards? Okay, I figured. That's good. Okay, the Maryland Natural Resources Police charged two Chrisfield watermen. This was Thursday morning with harvesting oysters from a Tangier Sound oyster sanctuary in Somerset County. The oyster season, we heard that quote from the governor before. Officers using the Maritime Law Enforcement Information Network, M-Line, watched on their laptops as a commercial boat entered the sanctuary about 8:15, began dredging for oysters. Why don't I just read the guys' names? Because it's a cut-and-paste press release. NRP officers used a laptop and watched their boat go in and out of the sanctuary. You know, sometimes the location changes. The quote from the governor is about the same. I'm bringing back the oysters personally into Maryland. And, you know, the NRP's doing a great job. And we've had this new radar thing. So, you know, we're going to. And apparently the word hasn't gotten out to the watermen that they're being watched. So this time it was Jason Fillmore Evans, 38, and Bennett Troy Sterling, 49. Each received a single citation for harvesting oysters within 150 feet of the sanctuary boundary. If they do not pay a fine of $450, they're scheduled to appear in Somerset District Court on the 10th of June. That's number one. Number two. This one came out on, that was Thursday. This one came out on Friday. Maryland Natural Resources Police charged Chris Field Waterman on Thursday afternoon with possession of 7 bushels of undersized oysters. Quote from O'Malley. An officer stopped a pickup truck on Main Street in Chris Field after seeing what he believed to be undersized oysters in the bed and no title fish license number on the truck. How can you tell if an oyster is undersized driving down the street? Come on. No title fish number on the truck? That I can see. He and another officer called the entire load and found that bushels contained from 7 to 24% undersized oysters. Paul Franklin Tyler, the third, 28, received 7 citations with fines totaling $2,115. You see, they charge you for every bushel. The undersized oysters were confiscated and returned to the Minocan Sanctuary. Tyler is scheduled to appear in Somerset District Court on June 10th. And then we talk more about the enhanced, all the other stuff. You want to play that, any songs? I don't think so. I don't want to. You know. It's getting wearying. Do I believe that all watermen are bad guys? No, I do not. I have the utmost respect for the profession. I have the utmost respect for many watermen. There are some, as we've discussed in the past, who just have a continual bent, a continual personality, continual disregard for the law, for the rules, and continue to get caught time after time after time. And the watermen know who they are. And, you know, my only suggestion would be the waterman community, police your own ranks. You know who the bad guys are. Did I mention a phone number more than 50 times? I'll mention it 51. 410-922-6680. Remember what I said at the beginning of the show? You call, we have a conversation. I haven't had a conversation with anybody yet except Brian, my producer, and he doesn't like to talk. Yeah, go ahead and play that.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. To participate in the show, call 410-WCBM-680 or 1-800-WCBM-680.
There you go. Hey, this is a story out of Norridgewock, Maine. Police, armed with assault rifles, descended on a Maine man's home after members of a tree removal crew he'd told to clear off his property reported that he had a gun. Yep. Michael Smith of Norridgewock, who works nights, was asleep when the tree crew contracted by a utility to trim branches near power lines woke him up about 10 a.m. on Tuesday. He went outside shirtless, no shirt, and yelled at the workers to leave. The workers thought he had a gun. No shirt on, thought he had a gun. what Mr. Smith did have was a life-size tattoo of a gun that looked like it was tucked into his belt, waistband. When he's not wearing a shirt, the tattoo looks like a gun tucked into his waistband. So Mr. Smith told the Morning Sentinel, the newspaper there, that the tattoo's never been a problem before, and police didn't charge him. Headline is very interesting. Gun tattoo mistakenly brings heavily armed police to Maine man's home. What's this world coming to? You can't even tell to yell at somebody on your property with a tattoo on your belly. Let's see what the email says. Pardon me. If folks aren't going to call, I'm going to check my email. That's fine. Yeah, I bet you're tired. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Get my paperwork in order here. Let's see here. A couple things coming up. Got a call from a fellow by the name of Jody Schultz, who's with the Kent Island Volunteer Fire Department. Apparently, Kent Island Volunteer Fire Department and Ducks Unlimited have gotten together for a sportsman's bash coming up on April 12th. Doors open at 11:30 and runs till 6, food and beer included. That's on Main Street in Chester, 1610 Main Street in Chester, Maryland. There are entry tickets, which includes your food and beer, and these are limited, $50 entry ticket, one person entry and one raffle chance, and then there's a $100 entry ticket, one person entry and three raffle chances. And the raffles are working like this. Every 15 minutes, they are going to pull some prizes. First prize at 12 noon is $250 cash. 12:15, a Mossberg 835 waterfowl and turkey combo. And then at 12:30, a Savage Model 93 17 HMR. And then at 12:45, a Remington Versamax 12 gauge. And then at 1 o'clock, $250 cash. And it goes on like that every 15 minutes with cash or a nice gun, all the way up to 6 p.m. 5:45, they give away a Browning A5. And at 6, it's $1,000 cash. So every 15 minutes, and I don't know how many chances that is, but if you want raffle chances, they're $25 a pop. You don't have to be present to win. And the website is KI Gun Bash, which stands for Kent Island, KIGunBash.com, www.KIGunBash.com. If you do go on that website and order your tickets, tell them you heard about it on the Outdoors and Radio Show. And maybe we'll get Mr. Schultz or somebody as a guest on here and talk about it in the future. Let's talk to Ed in Sykesville. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Please hang up and try again.
Ed's gone. Good morning, Earl. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. What's up?
Wondering about dogs. If they're neutered and or spayed, does it make any difference in their hunting ability?
I don't think so. It might even make it better, to be honest with you. They don't get all that caught in the brush.
Oh.
You know. Why, do you have a neutered dog that you want to train for hunting?
No, sometimes they're in the paper, you know, for free. And all the Humane Society has them. I have a tomcat, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Male, and he's the best old hunter. He's really big, but he'll go for anything, squirrels or...
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Do you have time for a short story?
Sure.
This is back years ago on the farm. He had a vet there, and he was testing cows.
Mm-hmm.
And
testing them for whether they were pregnant or not, or what?
No, dairy cows, they have to test them for TB.
Oh, TB. Okay, gotcha.
And we had this old tomcat there, and he was always fighting. He wouldn't hunt, and he had he was in the barn. He would also kill kittens.
Mm.
I heard that lions do that sometimes. Kill cubs.
Yeah, occasionally they kill cubs.
And he was fighting with another cat. I mentioned it. And Vic says, can you catch him? I said, yeah, I got him. And he says, I'll fix him. He says, take your boot off, your gum boot. He said, stick him in their head first.
Oh, man, don't tell me.
he said, I got some, took a pair of snips out, and he says, hold his tail up, I'll get you.
Oh, no.
Fuzzy jelly beans here. He stepped them off, and he says, it's okay, it's done, turn him out, turn him loose. And the barn door was open, and he went out like a bullet out of a gun.
Well, I bet.
Doc, he had a funny laugh. He said, you'll be okay now.
Did you ever see that cat again?
Yeah, he came around later, but this one I have, come around. We got this cat for a couple of years now, and he's something else.
Yeah.
He jumped up in the wheelbarrow and wants to take a ride with you.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, Earl, I appreciate that. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next time you call, okay?
All right.
Thank you. There he goes. Tom in Pasadena. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Tom from Dina. Nice to hear from you. Hey, look, I want to make a comment about that guy who's talking about the scalp phone with about the hunting dogs. Now, yeah. As well, for me, I don't have no hunting dogs, but when it comes to being neutered or spayed, it sure made a difference to me when I hunted, if you know what I'm saying. You didn't get it?
Oh, I got it. I'm just trying to weigh my comment here.
I don't need your comment, but anyhow.
Yeah, it immediately reminded me of an old Hank Williams Jr. song, "Gonna Go Hunting Tonight, But I'm Not Taking a Gun."
I'm taking a gun. Or the dogs. Just kidding. Hey, man, you have yourself a great day today. Bud told me to tell you hey.
Hey, I tell Bud hey.
All right.
I'll be talking about him here shortly. So.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, so let me get this straight, Brian. I tell the folks that the battles for Sunday hunting in each county by county by county, after it first started, after extremely hard-fought battle in Annapolis, that it could be coming to an end, that the organized horse people who have a lot of money, who have a lot of influence and who know how to work and make a lot of political contributions and know how to work the room when it comes to the General Assembly and know how to meet with people ahead of time and know how to put their case out there in front of the General Assembly have just hired an extremely high-powered lobbyist. And I urge you to Google Frank Brown the Third, and the main purpose and goal is to cause an end to any opportunities that hunters have to hunt on Sundays in Maryland. Now, we've been going this county by county by county, day by day by day, over the past decade, and the horse people believe that they can wipe it all away by throwing money at the General Assembly. And you know the sad part about that? It's true. They can. Frank Brown's father was a delegate. Frank Brown the Third, Frank Boston is the name. Frank Boston's father was a delegate. Frank Boston the Third is extremely well known in the halls of Annapolis. And as far as representing Maryland fishermen and hunters, this year, there's zero representation of the hunting nor fishing community in Annapolis on important issues. I say that with sadness, but I say it with confidence. There's no person who has the skill to work with members of the General Assembly in the House of Delegates or in the Senate to speak for hunting and fishing issues. It is a development that has taken place in the last year, last 8 months, really. I'm aware of the situation, and it is heartbreaking. And now we have one of the biggest challenges to the gains that we've made. And I'd like to see what Greg has to say in Pasadena. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Alan?
Good.
I just wanted to let your listeners know that when they hire a high power lobbyist and they get some money pushing behind, it does make the legislators move. First of all, Maryland State is dominated by Democratic, politicians.
Correct.
And, we really don't have a voice as a hunter, as a conservative, as a fisherman. You really don't have a voice. You're already in the minority as far as the legislator is concerned.
So how did we win all these hard-fought victories? How did we win Sunday hunting in the first place? How did we win a bear season in the second place? How did we win funding for farmers and hunters feeding the hungry? How did we win funding for the Maryland Aquatic Reef Initiative? How did we win a yellow perch management strategy? How did we win a cap on menhaden? How did we win all these victories in the past dozen years?
Very easily, by picking up the telephone.
Horse manure, Greg. You don't know what you're talking about.
You have to fight.
Because right.
If they don't think they're going to get elected, or
no.
Money, they don't want to vote.
No,
they're not going to go. What's that?
No, I'm telling you that there were battles fought in the trenches by people who represented the hunting and fishing community. You may not have heard about it, but I can tell you, being following this and being a participant in this process, it just doesn't work like that. Look at the protest that the gun crowd did last year over Senate Bill 281. Look at that protest. They wrote letters. They showed up in mass in Annapolis. They had a couple lobbyists, and they lost Senate Bill 281.
They lost huge.
What?
They lost. We lost, and we lost huge.
Correct. It was a tremendously hard-fought battle, and they lost. And it wasn't because it was a Democrats in charge. It definitely because it was an administration bill. But I am telling you that battles that have been fought and won, like the ones I mentioned, let me tick them off again. Yellow perch management, cap on menhaden, funding for Mary, funding for farmers and hunters feeding the hungry, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act, the no net loss of public hunting lands. Those are battles that were equally as hard fought. An initial Sunday hunting bill reversed a $350 year standing in Maryland. King George was on the throne when they banned Sunday hunting, and the sportsman's community got it overturned. And that was under a Republican administration. However, the bulk of the General Assembly was Democrat. You got to understand, there are battles that are pitched and fought and won and lost in Annapolis every single day. And you can't tell me that sportsmen who are not organized are going to get anywhere. There's one organization that stood up for all those things that I mentioned to you in the past dozen years, and there are no show in Annapolis this year.
Really? What's the name of that organization? They just disappeared, or what?
They are, according to one of the officers, they are reorganizing, and they are doing strategic planning. And yes, there has been some schism in the ranks, no question about it.
And you have to remember that a lot of people are sleeping. They don't realize that these organizations need funding. They need, you know, they need support.
Thank you. Thank you. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And we've talked about it here on the air. We've talked about it, you know, many, many times. And now we've got this giant threat. Giant threat. Couldn't come at a worse time. Of course, you know, when your opponent's weak, you go for the underbelly.
Exactly.
You know? You go for the underbelly when your opponent is weak. And right now, listen, right now I'm trying to wake people up. I know it's early in the morning. I know it's Saturday morning. And I know, you know, people are not even concerned about it at all. But when it comes out next year during the hunting season that you can't hunt in Cecil County on Sunday or you can't hunt in, you know, Frederick County or out west on Sunday because the horse community's hired a Franklin Brown or Frank Brown the third. And he got the bill repealed. What are they going to do then? What are they going to say then?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Same old stuff they always say.
I didn't know.
So, you know, hey, I'm not always the bearer of pleasant news. I'll take that role. Okay? I'll take that role. And, you know, yeah, I hate politics. I hate the whole process. But there is a process. And these people are playing it very well with lots of money and lots of organization. And all I'm telling the sportsmen, all I'm telling the hunters and the fishermen is you're not that organized and you have no voice. So don't be surprised when you start losing.
Oh, definitely.
All right, Greg.
I don't know if you know who I am. I used to do your sports shows. I'm the belt guy that used to do belts at your sports shows.
I have no clue, Greg.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't know if you remember or not, but I used to do Buck Fever and all that. Well, I have a leather business, and literally the same thing has happened to leather because of animal rights.
Oh, I have no doubt.
And little by little, by, like, not organizing, not, you know, you have to stop all
I do remember. I do remember. I remember your display. I don't know if I could remember your face, but I do remember you coming to the shows, absolutely.
Yeah. But little by little, the rights have been eroded away, and, you know, people don't realize, you know, that
Have you ever testified in Annapolis, Greg?
Several times.
Okay. What were the issues?
Over the gun bills and a few, and there was one other, there was another one that they had, I think, about 12 years ago about a search and seizure.
Right.
When you're in the woods hunting or something. It was like,
yeah.
It was basically a blanket search.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but Franklin Brown III has also represented the Maryland Gun Dealers Association.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he apparently goes wherever the money...
He's a hired gun, absolutely. No question. Exactly. Like Paladin. No question. All right, Greg.
Yeah, well, it was nice talking to you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Let people know, and I appreciate it.
All right, see ya. Greg got me fired up. Let's talk to Wesley in Westminster. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Okay, so, you know, you kind of set the platform up here that, you know, we understand we've got a problem in Annapolis. So how's Joe Blow help out? I mean, I'm not a politician.
No, nope. Joe Blow can help out by registering to vote.
I'm registered, definitely.
Joe Blow can help out by writing a letter to your own delegate in Carroll County.
Okay. That would email be as effective.
You can email these letters and everything else. You absolutely can. And if you want, I've got an example. Letter that was written by the chairman of the Wildlife Advisory Commission, and you can use that as a template. You can go off of that if you want. You can add a personal touch to that if you like. And if you
find that on your website,
nope, you can simply email me ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay,
and get involved and go testify. Look, I believe you have a grandson. Is that right?
Yes.
I believe your grandson is a hunter. Is that right?
He is.
I believe that Carroll County has Sunday hunting opportunities, which basically doubles that young man's time in the woods, right?
It does.
Ah, so what happens if that goes away in Carroll County?
This year, my son would not have gotten his deer had we not been able to hunt on Sunday.
Thank you.
I had to work on Saturday.
Thank you.
And it was beautiful. And I've been
so why should the organized horse community
church on Sunday? But
you can go hunting after church. That's exactly what we did. Why should the organized horse community, who can ride 7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year, why should they be concerned about people hunting on private property on their own property, on property they've leased. Why should they come out and want to repeal that? What makes them better than us?
You are absolutely right on that.
If you ride a horse, I don't care if you trail ride or whatever you do. Here's another challenge I'm going to put out to my listeners, okay? I would like you to email me any experiences that you have as a hunter on public land or on private land that involves a confrontation with horse people. Because I know that they purposely ride on, you know, public land during hunting season to, what shall I say, interfere with, and they'll never say that, but they will try to ruin a guy's hunt. No question in my mind.
Come ride past me at Liberty Reservoir where they're not supposed to be.
I need that in writing. I need an email, Wes.
I'll send you one.
Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
I'll send you one, bud.
All right, man.
Thank you. Stand. Keep standing in the.
I will have some solutions here sooner rather than later.
Excellent.
All right.
God bless you.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
See you. Bye bye. Vince, good morning. How are you?
Yes. Alan.
Yes.
Vince.
Yes, sir.
Didn't MSSA have a lobbyist, and do they still have one, or did they drop it?
MSSA did have a lobbyist. They paid him for his services, and he was paid, and the issue was brought forth, and he went on his merry way.
So they had one on call all the time.
Who did?
At one point years ago.
Who did?
MSSA.
I can't speak for their group. I don't know.
I think they had hired Barriano at one point.
That's possible. I don't know the answer to that.
But do they have one now?
No, not that I know of.
Well, maybe they need to get back in the game.
Well, what does MSSA have to do with Sunday hunting?
Well, it wasn't Sunday hunting, but we were talking about lobbyists in general.
Yeah.
And the hunting and fishing.
Yeah, I know.
They're on the fishing side.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, they've abandoned their efforts down in Annapolis. So there's not much of an example for anybody else to get into it.
Well, I won't say that they've abandoned their efforts. I will say that what I was told by one of the officers is that they are reorganizing and they are involved in strategic planning.
All right.
Okay? What's that tell you?
Well, we'll wait and see.
Well, I know you'll wait and see.
Problem is, those guys are cheap, but it would be nice if all these fishing clubs.
Well, that's always been the problem with the fishing and hunting community. They've never been organized. They hate each other. You know, the deer are mine, and they're mine in my season, and the waterfowlers. I'm not going through that whole litany again. But yeah, we better get organized. We better. That's all I can say.
All right, talk to you again.
Thanks, Vince. See ya.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye. Chesapeake Outdoors. Boy, I ran late there, and I'm getting yelled at, and we might not get them all in, but we're going to try, and we'll have to carry them over the next hour if we don't. Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, Exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island. They have everything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing. Striper season coming up, rockfish. They've got the spanking striper lures. That's right, the bucktails, the parachutes. They've got the trolling baits for big old rockfish, trophy rockfish, and they're called spanking stripers. Spanking stripers. Fish with the best, forget about the rest. Now, they also asked me to tell you that they've got the Mojos, the big giant bucktails and parachutes in 16 ounces, 20 ounces, and 24 ounces in custom colors, largest selection you ever want to see. Let's not forget about spring turkey season. They've got the zinc turkey calls and the Avian X decoys. They've got the shotguns for turkey. They've got Drake waterfowl clothing still at 40% off on the remaining stock. Mission bows, Mission crossbows, Matthews bows, Parker bows, Barnett crossbows, Under Armour clothing, all at Chesapeake Outdoors and anything you could need for fishing. They're open 7 days a week. The address is right off Route 50, exit 39B on Kent Island. That's Dominion Road. you can see them right on 50 as you go by. Turn at the Exxon station and go between the Exxon and the 7-Eleven, make a right, and you're there. Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500. Check them out today and tell them you heard about them right here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Let's not forget about our buddies at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. If you need it for trout fishing or perch fishing, if you need live bait, they've got that too at Clyde Sports Shop. They have all the firearms you need for home protection, self-protection, and they've got gunsmithing services, rod and reel repairs. They can put a new tip on your rod or new guide on your rod. They can fix your reels and fill your reels with line and get you ready for the upcoming season. Stripers, trout, perch, you name it, they've got it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne for Clyde Sports Shop. Website is ClydeSports.com. Don't forget that number is 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline number 410-247-3474. 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Well, there's the music. We came to the end of the first hour, and we're going to get out of here for a little bit for the news, and then we'll be back with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show coming up in the next hour. So join us then. More on Sunday hunting if you'd like. We'd love to be able to hear from